appear that there's any kind of an effort up there yet. Now remember, oh my God.
Oh my God.
That looks like a second plane.
I did not see a plane go in. That just exploded.
You just saw another plane coming in from the side.
You did. That was out of absolute.
Yes, and that's the second explosion. You could see the plane come in just from the right-hand side of the screen. So this looks like it is some sort of a concerted.
Now there we go, Charles Gibson on ABC News that morning. Good morning, America. As he and I guess Diane Sawyer there. Maybe
I'm surprised how quickly you recognize their voices.
Well, you could. Yeah, what's so noticeable about that is just the sheer disbelief. Mm-hmm. You know, as the event, these are news professionals at the highest level watching the events play out, as all of us did, and then just the unbelievable nature of what was occurring 10 years ago today. Bill Vickery back here for a second hour of the Sunday Buzz. We'll lighten the mood in the last hour. Rex Nelson will be in. We'll go for the dean of all Arkansas sports writers, the great Harry King. We'll go inside the numbers. Here's the thing about Harry King, because I read Harry religiously. Harry's a good writer. You don't have to, you know what I mean? He's technically, and that's a lost art in today's world. You see a lot of poor writing. Now, I'm not talking about the opinion. You know, I may not always agree with what Harry writes, but his sentence structure and everything is very, he's just a very good writer. So he could kind of write about anything, but because you don't see a lot of good writing, especially in sports.
I'm going to say, people wrote a lot more back then.
Well, right. Are you implying, Han Solo, that Harry King is in advanced years? Is that what you're saying?
Compared to some of the people up here.
You're saying that Harry King...
There's a bit of a generation.
Right. Your generation. Yeah. It's all about texting. Has butchered the English language. The English language has taken a beating in the last 5 years, and I blame your generation.
Oh, OMG, Bill. I don't
see. See, that's maybe that's the real victim of the terrorist attack, the English language. Okay. This, by the way, just some, I don't know, in terms of the aftermath, what occurred on 9/11, the decade later, this coming to us via Reuters and the Associated Press. Kabul, Afghanistan, nearly 80 American soldiers were wounded. This happening, Dateline Kabul, this story is exactly 90 minutes old.
Yeah.
Nearly 80 American soldiers were wounded, and two Afghan civilians were killed in a Taliban truck bombing targeting an American air base in eastern Afghanistan, NATO officials said Sunday. A stark reminder that the war in Afghanistan still rages 10 years after the September 11 terror attacks against the United States. The blast, which occurred late Saturday, shaved the facades from shops outside the combat outpost side... Where? Somewhere there in Afghanistan.
Somewhere over there, yeah.
Almost went to Acre, Joe de la Malure. Words. Well, that's about it. So this story coming to us from Kabul. According to the Associated Press and Reuters, 80 American soldiers wounded, two Afghan civilians killed in a Taliban truck bombing there at a combat outpost in eastern Afghanistan. We'll stay on top of that as the day progresses. Okay, I want to get into in this hour sort of the aftermath of what happened. What the last decade and how in many ways, every event that has occurred in America has had some connection to what happened on 9/11 for over a decade. Well, for a decade now. And, God, I sound a little bit like Ted Knight there. And, hello, Lou. So for the last decade, all the dominoes can be tied back to 9/11. And in some ways, that's not true at all. But I want to touch on some areas here right off the bat. Well, of course, what we as a nation now look to in terms of security measures. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I can remember pre-9/11. I remember taking the flight down to Austin, Texas, for business. A couple of days before, I showed up at the airport with, you know, steamer trunks of luggage.
Yeah.
Breezing through 5 minutes before my flight, bought the ticket, you know, one-way ticket, headed out through security, kind of gave him a wave, you know, hopped in, took off.
Yeah. I'm cool.
Yeah. Thanks. Now, of course, the return trip was far different, and it was a very eerie sight to be the first flight out of Austin that 2 days later on the ground for 2 days. So obviously, security as a nation has changed dramatically. There are some that argue that we have given up our civil liberties in exchange for security. I don't. It's interesting. I don't see that. But you know what's funny to me is you'll see a lot of what we'll just call law-abiding citizens, good conservatives who think, hey, we need to give the police and the FBI and others the tools to go listen to these phone calls and engage. I mean, we need to do that. We need law and order. If we're going to stop these people, we got to do that. But now, these are the same people. When they get patted down at a security checkpoint at an airport, it's hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah.
So I think until we have a direct interaction with what we perceive as our civil liberties in America, until we have it right in our face, we don't think about these things. Now, I happen to be one, so that's why a guy can say, hey, sure they ought to be able to wiretap. What's the big deal? You know, I'm not a criminal. I don't do anything wrong. So I say more power to him. But then pat me down at an airport. Hey, you got a problem on your hands, buddy.
Yeah.
Because, so that's an example. I'm being very inarticulate at this moment. It's really sad. But that's an example of how, you know, people react. They can be the same person and react in two separate manners. Well, of course. We all are. I don't want to feel like I'm being treated like a criminal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they've singled me out, you know.
Let's be honest.
But I mean, look at me, though.
Yes. You scream suspicious. Everything about your body is suspicious to me. But in terms of what I think, the paradigm shifted dramatically on 9/11 because from a security standpoint, it's no longer about catching the bad guys. You know, we as a nation have always been about all of our instruments of justice are set up to catch a guy after he's committed a bad act.
This is prevention.
Well, we knew the 19 guys. We knew them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Their pictures are in the paper 2 days later.
Yeah.
You see, so the paradigm shifted away from having to catch people after they did the bad thing to preventing the bad thing from happening in the first place. And, you know, call me naive here, but I happen to think that our law enforcement officials at the federal, state, local level, our clandestine agencies have done a tremendous job of identifying, pursuing, and you never know when someone gets a double tap to the head in Munich,
right,
that they've just neutralized a cell.
We just don't hear about it.
No, you're exactly. The real war on terror happens in the shadows. And so I happen to believe that whether it's the FBI or as my dad calls it, the federal BI, or the CIA, or many others, have done a tremendous job in terms of our security. Can you imagine the pressure? Because we're still the most free society on the planet Earth.
Oh, yeah, I'm not living in fear. I mean,
right. You should live in total fear.
Other reasons.
When you get out of the shower, you should be afraid.
Yeah, I am. every time I look in the mirror.
I'm kidding, Han Solo. But the tremendous responsibility to maintain all of the freedoms that we enjoy in America and are necessary for our way of life, but to do so in a secure manner is a massive job. Is a just a got to be a stress pit. And I think these agencies, like I said, from the federal BI all the way through the NSA and others, they do a tremendous job. In fact, I got to show up for an airplane 45 minutes in advance. So be it.
So this is coming from a guy who flies all
the time. Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah. Because you know what? The marketplace is adjusted. There's Wi-Fi. There's whatever. I can work while I wait on my plane. It's no longer a matter. It's not the 1970s when you could smack a stew on the tush and
light a lucky strike.
Light you a lucky strike up in the smoking section of the airplane. You know?
Yeah.
No, I mean, we are now a more mobile society, and that's a direct result of the fact that you had security measures put in place gave way to market forces changing the way airports exist. Mm-hmm. We're up against a break, but security is just another one of these things that has occurred that is morphed over the last decade. I want to talk about American foreign policy. I want to talk about the economy. And our perspective on the rest of the world. Stay with us.
Though